Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show at Dad's Point of View, and thank you, Davy Jones and the Monkees, for that wonderful song, one of my favorites of theirs. We will listen to a few more as the show progresses, and rest in peace, Davy Jones. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N.com, and that's S like in Sam's. Pastor Drew Sams, who's been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for a long time, and he's also finishing up doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and are expecting baby Drew, maybe momentarily. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Always great being on. Hey, do you ever do shout-outs on your show?
No, but go for it.
You know, I got a friend, he's listen to the live stream right now, and I just have to give a shout out to Tony D'Amico, and he's chatting with me on the other on my screen right now. So you got another listener.
Hey, we have three now.
There
That's
you go.
Terrific. If my mother were alive, we'd have four. As we do each week, and particularly since I missed you last week, we need the update on baby Drew.
Yeah, well, you know, here we are. Today is 32 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 40 weeks is full term. I was almost a dad a week and a half ago. And, you know, I've missed you the last couple weeks because our friend who's caring for us, she went into preterm labor at 30 weeks. And so it's quite a scenario.
And how the baby was viable, though, weighing, I think you told me, 3 pounds?
3 pounds, 6 ounces. You got good memory.
Yeah.
Of course, that, you know, the doctors gave us the whole rundown and said, Okay, if the baby's born today, this is what you can expect. And, it, you know, it was scary. Some of the statistics they were telling us, chance of possibly not even making it, of course, though low. There could be learning disabilities later on in life, could be cerebral palsy, whole host of things. And so after a while, you know, you just kind of get numb and you see the mouth moving.
Mm.
And but, you know, praise God, she ended up going home on bed rest and the baby's still cooking away. So so Bruce Jr. still in there.
Good, good, good. When is the ideal due date?
Well, April 25th.
Okay.
And so this was, you know, about February 20th or so is when she went into the hospital, so about 2 months too early. So we're taking it one day at a time. My wife and I, our prayer every day is, well, God, thank you that he wasn't born yesterday. So one day
it.
At a time.
I love it. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking as you were speaking that I was going to miss these updates, and then I realized, wait, they don't have to stop.
Yeah, it's true.
The updates are going to continue through certainly, you know, the babyhood. I'm going to be asking you about diapering and all the other stuff that you're going to be doing and all the new things that are present since I last did it 16 years ago. So,
well, I had no idea they even had this, but last night my wife and I went to the hospital. We went to a baby basics class. I learned how to swaddle a baby, how to put on a diaper, so of course, that was on a little doll. But we'll see how it goes in real time with him squirming around. So
well,
I'll keep you updated.
We might have to have two segments with you. One is about baby Drew, and the other is about what we usually talk about. And this week, we're going to talk about opposite-sex friends. And I asked you in the break if you had any biblical references, and you had nothing that you felt was that relevant, but you did have something else that you thought was culturally very relevant, and I'd love to hear from you.
Well, one of my favorite movies of all time, When Harry Met Sally, for any of you who are listening that have seen it, is this classic scene. Of course, Harry and Sally, Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, they're driving, they've just met, and Harry says to Sally, you realize, of course, that we can never be friends. And she says, why not? And he says, what I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way. And she says, that's not true. I have a number of men friends, and there's no sex involved. And they argue back and forth. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. And finally, he says, because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive, he always wants to have sex with her. And it's such an interesting cultural dialogue there. And I found that even if it's not the physical sex, there can sometimes be an emotional connection.
Well, I assert, as I did in my column, that emotional connection can be worse than a one-night fling. If it's a regular lunch you have with a coworker and you're sharing intimacies that you don't share with your wife or your husband, to me, that's an emotional infidelity as grave as a one-time sexual infidelity.
Do you think because that runs deeper, people
Yes.
feel they connect more with the person? You know, one of the phrases I hear a lot, a man or a woman who's married will often say, well, but she just gets me. It's just, she understands what I'm going through. I can't talk to my spouse about this. My coworker or somebody I, you know, volunteer with, they really understand me. And boy, that runs deep.
Well, when it's the opposite sex, I question what's going on. If it's things you want to talk about with your men friends, if you're a guy, or your girlfriends with your girl, I think there's that's actually healthy. I mean, for instance, what if you're just feeling irritated with your partner for whatever reason, and it's not like you're looking to get a divorce? Maybe that irritation is best to air with friends and kind of just talk it out. Or what if you think something your partner has done is really hurtful? And instead of confronting the partner, you bring it to your friends, and your friends give you a perspective that makes you realize it probably had nothing to do with you.
I agree, especially when you've got people that you can trust, that
right.
You've known for a while. You have that relational capital. But boy, if you go to somebody of the opposite sex, it can, even though right in the beginning it might seem very platonic, very safe, you might not even be attracted to them physically, there could be that emotional connection. And one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden you're somewhere you never thought you'd go.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Wayne Levine was our previous guest, who you know is always precedes you with the men's room. And mm-hmm. I joined a group that he started. And he started his work with, I was in his very first men's group. And I knew my marriage was falling apart, and I knew I didn't have male support in my life. I had girlfriends, meaning platonic woman friends. And that had been my habit most of my life. And what I was realizing is that they were often just giving me what I wanted to hear. Because women have a tendency, this is a generalization, there's exceptions, of course, to give me what I wanted to hear because they like to nurture. And I needed to hear some truths that maybe weren't so kind to me. And my women friends were not going to provide that. And that became clear to me. And that was part of why I went to the men's work. And over the course of the first year or two I was with them, during which time I got separated and ultimately divorced, I actually divested myself of many of those women friends and replaced them with male friends for exactly the reasons we're talking about.
So really, you were being proactive before something ever kind of materialized?
No, there was nothing. I had no attraction to these various women. But in my interpretation, I wasn't getting the real answers that I needed that another man might provide. Mm-hmm. And the men in my men's group did, which is something like, hey, Bruce, you're an idiot. Or, Bruce, that was really stupid. What about her? The women would always kind of just sympathize with me because mm-hmm. I also am a great salesman. So I would make this great story of why I, poor me, poor me. Well, strong men in my life don't do that. They see through, oh, quit playing the victim, Bruce. You know, where's your responsibility in this?
And maybe on the flip side, for a woman who only has male friends, maybe the men are saying, well, you got to get out of that relationship. You got to do this, and maybe...
Or they just flatter her.
Exactly.
You know, you're so beautiful, you're so this, you know. My husband said I looked fat. Oh, are you kidding? You're the hottest woman I know. You know, maybe she needs another girlfriend to say, well, honey, you've gained a little weight. So I think there's a very big reason to have same-sex friends. Before we end, because I can't believe we're out of time, I just must say that my favorite scene in When Harry Met Sally was, of course, the cafeteria, dining room, restaurant scene. But then again, of course, I have a single-track mind because I'm a man.
So I think a lot of men rethought their relationships with their spouses and their wives after that scene, thinking, oh.
I saw it recently, and two things struck me, which is how great it was and how young Meg Ryan was, and for that matter, Billy Crystal, who we just saw in the Oscars, who was wonderful, but boy, we all age, don't we? Where can my listeners find you, Pastor Drew?
Well, right now I'm actually transitioning back over to just drewsams.com. I'll send you an email to remind you that, but
okay.
Going back to drewsams.com.
Well, that's easy. Drewsams.com. Best of luck on the forthcoming baby Drew birth, which I hope is not till next month. But
Me too.
I am counting on him and God making him a healthy young man.
Bruce, thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. We will be back with more of Bruce in the next segment and my story about when I met Davy Jones.
I need a change of scenery. Ta 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 ta.